The readings we have encountered today in Matthew's Gospel, the last couple of Sundays, and at daily Masses have some similarities and common themes running through them. We have encountered parables, the themes of wisdom and understanding, and the kingdom of heaven, as well as things that are hidden. So let's take a closer look at them. The Gospel readings from today and the past two Sundays have featured Jesus teaching the disciples and the people in parables. Leading up to this, a few Sundays ago, Jesus set the stage for this saying, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned," meaning, yes, I mean you, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and leaders of the temple, "you have revealed them to the little ones." I'm not sure if the disciples of Jesus appreciated being referred to as little ones, but this will help them and us to embrace the important virtue of humility. The gospel here, referring to the disciples, includes not only the apostles, but also those faithful followers close to Jesus. Then, the next Sunday, we saw the disciples approach Jesus and ask him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" So obviously the disciples didn't make the corollary from what Jesus had earlier said about things being hidden and his teaching in parables. So he elaborates, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. This is why I speak in parables, because they look and they do not see, and hear and do not listen or understand." Then last Sunday, we heard in the gospel, after Jesus taught the crowds with a few more parables, he dismissed them and went into the house with just his disciples, who asked him, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." So here we see the disciples being humble enough to admit that they weren't getting it, not understanding. And Jesus patiently explains it to them and us. Now look at today's readings. We see, interestingly, that in this first reading from the book of Kings, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, offering to give him something he asks for. Solomon has a few things in common with Jesus. First off, they are both kings, but of very different kingdoms. Therefore, they are both leaders, and they both share something else, too. While Solomon is the actual son of David, his father, Jesus, being of the same tribe, is referred to as the son of David. Solomon, at this point, embraces humility, like we just saw the disciples do, and asks for wisdom and understanding, realizing his weakness in this important area. The Lord is pleased that Solomon made this request compared to asking for long life, riches, or dominance over his enemies, and replies, "I give you a heart so wise and understanding that there has never been anyone like you up to now." What we know of Solomon, this son of David, is that he starts out well with this wisdom, building up the kingdom and building the temple of the Lord. He used his wisdom to follow his discernment of God's will, which was also the discernment of his father, King David, and that the Lord was asking for a place to reside and meet with man. Moses had discerned the same will of God and had followed God's direction in setting up a tent for this purpose, after he met with God on the mountain. So in salvation history, God started out meeting with his newly formed creature, man, in the Garden of Eden, where God walked and conversed with Adam and Eve. After the fall, God met with Moses on the mountain. He accepted sacrifices on altars and then met Moses in the tent that had been instructed to be set up for this purpose. Now Solomon built a temple for this same purpose and to give God glory. Each man in his way was trying to build up the kingdom of God. In our time, the equivalent of this kingdom is the church. Jesus used the term kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God interchangeably, so it should be clear that the kingdom he is referring to is God himself. It is called the kingdom of heaven because it came from heaven, not from earth. It is the kingdom of God because God, not man, is its founder. The purpose is for us to get to heaven. So the kingdom's beginning and its end is in heaven. This kingdom is not a geographical area like a political or military kingdom, but a spiritual realm. Jesus himself makes this point clearly, that his kingdom is not a literal, earthly, political kingdom at his trial before Pilate, when he was accused of being the king of the Jews. Jesus replied to Pilate, stating that, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over." In today's gospel, Jesus tells his disciples three parables, all concerning this kingdom of heaven. Each makes a different point about the kingdom. The first says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Now in the parable, the person who finds it doesn't take it with them like we might expect and might do ourselves. Instead, this individual hides it again, then in joy sells all they have and buys this field where the treasure is hidden. What is Jesus trying to say? Namely this, you cannot steal this kingdom, and you cannot unjustly obtain the kingdom. So this parable is making the point that the kingdom is a hidden reality. It is not lying on the ground, but is something that is buried and will take some effort on our part to encounter. It is also something that can't be stolen, but instead, we have to give all that we have if we are to possess it. That takes us to the second parable, which is similar to the first in that the kingdom may not be hidden, but is something that is both valuable and needs to be searched for. When this pearl is found, it is so precious that it is worth everything we have to obtain it. The third parable is different from the other two in that in relating to the kingdom of heaven, it is saying that it's a net thrown into the sea and that many will be swept up into that net, but that only those who are good, faithful, and righteous will become spiritually rich and receive the reward of everlasting life. So we know the kingdom is very valuable and can't be stolen, and that our very eternal lives depends upon us taking part in it. But where and what is this kingdom? It is in the souls in which God's will is done. Another name for this kingdom is Christ's church, and one of the church's own names for itself is the people of God. We are the church. The church is also the mystical body of Christ, with Jesus as its head. We are not our own. We are Christ's. In the prayer that Jesus himself taught us, the Lord's Prayer, is where we pray with him and collectively say, "Our Father." In it, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." So the kingdom of God is wherever God's will is done. All these parables that Jesus has shared are a challenge to us at two levels: understanding and action. Understanding without action is sterile and lifeless. Action without understanding is useless and could lead to sin. As we think about Jesus' stories and ponder what they meant, we should be asking ourselves, what do they mean for us today? How might we build up the kingdom of heaven? We can't do it in the same exact way Solomon did with building the actual temple, but we could use wisdom and understanding like he received. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple and I will build it in 3 days." Using that wisdom and understanding, we are called to be an active part of the body of Christ, following and being obedient to the head, Jesus. Jesus said in talking about the temple, he was talking about the temple of his body. He was crucified, dying for our sins so we can be free. So our lives are given to us, made in his image and likeness, freed from our sins by his sacrifice, free to choose the good. If we misuse our freedom the way Adam and Eve misused their free will, choosing disobedience and sin, we will cease to be free, becoming slaves to sin once more. Ever since the assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven, the church that Jesus founded has consisted of nothing but sinners. The church he founded, though, is holy because he, as the invisible head of his mystical body, is holy. Even though in his church there are no perfect people who always do what is expected of them or what we expect of them and what they should do, what we do have is a perfect God who is able to lead us through his imperfect life, through this imperfect life, with his perfect life, with unfailing strength, incomparable wisdom, and infinite love. Christ became man so that man may become God. Jesus wants to be the Lord of our lives and our hearts. St. Augustine put it well when he said, there are only two kinds of people, two kingdoms of people, which he called city of God and the city of the world. He defined the city not by sight, buildings, or boundaries, but by love. A city is a people unified by a common love, and it is the heart of the matter because it comes from the heart. Therefore, the city of God is all who love God as their final end, their greatest good, their treasure. While the city of the world is all who love themselves and this world as their final end. That's our fundamental choice. Who is our God? What is our treasure? Whichever kingdom or city we choose to serve or build up, that is the one we will serve with our time, talent, and treasure. So once again, we must ask ourselves, who is our God?